You know, usually in the month of December, at least over the last couple of years, we have looked at some of the hymns of the faith, and we look at the words to those songs, we look at the history of those songs, so that when we sing these songs of praise and worship, that they might be more real to us, so that we might understand them a little bit more. And if you ever want to go back and listen to some of these sermons or whatever, if you go to the website, you'll find them all under that Songs in the Night. We've put everything there, all these different ones, and it just makes it a little bit easier to find that way. A couple months ago, I had a request for a song, and I had full intentions really of waiting until December to talk about it. Just kind of keep with that pattern again, but I can't get the song out of my head. It seems like everywhere I go, I've got this song in my mind. So hopefully, if we talk about it now, I can move on to the next song, right? A little bit, kind of get that song out of my mind a little bit, maybe. But the song that we want to look at this morning is called "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Austin played it this morning. I wasn't expecting him to. I mentioned yesterday to him that I was going to be talking about it, so I was a little surprised, actually, when he was playing it. But before we begin, I do want to tell you a little bit about the song, and we'll also read from the Word of God where this song is actually taken from, so that you might understand the context of this song a little bit better. The song is found on page 322 in the Old Baptist Hymnal, and if you look to the left there, you'll see that the song is written by Sarah F. Adams. Sarah F. Adams. Now, Sarah, the F stands for flower, Sarah Flower Adams. And Sarah had great aspirations of becoming an actress in the day that she lived in. You can see that she lived in the 1800s, and she wanted to be an actress or a dramatic poet, and she did some acting in plays, and she got a lot of good reviews, but her health was poor. And she returned home to her home where she grew up. And there one day, while she was at her home with her sister, the pastor of the church stopped by and he was speaking to them. And he mentioned to her how much that he would love to have a song that would go with his sermon that was coming up on Sunday morning, but he hadn't been able to find one. And his sermon was about Jacob's vision at Bethel. Now, what is Jacob's vision at Bethel? That's when God showed him that stairway or that ladder to heaven. Now, Sarah said that she would take up the task and try to write a song for it, and that she did. And it became a very popular song very quick. Perhaps sometime in your life you've seen the movie Titanic. I think most everybody has seen that movie. It's been out for quite some time, of course, but it seems like everybody has seen that at least one time in their life. And you might recall as the passengers were getting off the boat and making their escape that you saw a string quartet there all dressed in their tuxedos, and they were playing this song on their violins. Now, not too long ago, Heather and I were at a restaurant, and two ladies were playing the violin there. And as we were sitting down eating our meal, we'd heard him sneak in a couple of hymns anyway. So as we were going out, I said, "Do you know 'Nearer, My God, to Thee'?" And they kind of thought for a minute, and they said, "Well, can you sing it a little bit?" And I started singing a little bit, and they said, "Oh, the Titanic song." And they just started going right at it. So that's how they recognized it at first. But again, indeed, that night, as the Titanic did begin to sink, you know, the bands did continue to play, and at first they played popular music of the day, ragtime. They were trying to kind of bolster the spirit of the crowd with these worldly joys. But as that night became darker and bleaker, they began to play hymns. And this is one of the hymns that some of them remember them playing as they escaped for safety. Now, again, before we look into the words of the song, we need to look at the context of the song. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Genesis, in chapter 28. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. And certainly you think, if you're on that boat and you know you're going down, what a better song to sing than "Nearer, My God, to Thee" on your pathway to see Christ. Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse number 10. It says, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, Jacob at this point in his life is fleeing the house of his father, the house of his mother, not because of anger of them, but because of the anger of his brother Esau, who has a desire to kill him. And Jacob was being sent to his uncle Laban's house, where he was told to get a wife as well, and to stay there long enough for Esau's anger to pass by. You know, Jacob had purchased his brother's birthright for what? Just a bowl of soup, basically, right? He had done that. He had deceived his father for the blessing over top of Esau. And as you think of Jacob here, Jacob had the birthright. Jacob had the blessing. But what was Jacob leaving his father's house with? Nothing. There were no flocks. There were no servants. It was just him. He was indeed alone. But it's in that solitude that God reveals himself to Jacob. Verse number 11 says, "And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." Now, many things have been said about the significance of the ladder here that Jacob sees. First, it seems to show the providence of God directing the life of Jacob. Secondly, it opens our eyes indeed to the constant interaction between heaven and earth as we see the angels ascending and descending between the throne of God and here, God's footstool upon the earth. And lastly, and surely it is a picture of Jesus Christ. You see, we are reminded that no one can see the Father except through the Son. And it is the gift of Calvary, the gift of Calvary's cross, that indeed builds that staircase to heaven. Let's read on. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee." Boy, isn't that a wonderful promise? "Until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! There is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." You know, we look at that verse number 17 and you see that word dreadful in there. You know, dreadful is not the best of our English words today necessarily that we would use. You know, when we think of dreadful, we think of a place that we don't want to go to, right? A place that you don't never want to go back to. I think of, you know, taxes. That's a dreadful thing. I don't like to pay taxes. You know, we think of all the many things that are dreadful today. But how would we translate this word today? Well, the best way to translate it is the word awesome. Awesome. You know, how awesome is this place? And he calls it the house of God. The house of God. In verse 18, he goes on to say, "Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously." The name Bethel means house of God. House of God. Today, a lot of churches, you go down the road and you'll see something that says like Bethel Baptist Church or something to that sort, you know, Bethel with whatever name it is. And they're not talking about a location, not the town that it's found in. They're calling it that because they indeed believe it is the house of God. Now, before we get into this song here, I want you to understand something. I want you to realize something this morning. You know, right now you're sitting in your pews. But right now you're sitting on holy ground. This is holy ground. This morning you're sitting in Bethel. You're sitting in the house of God. And it's truly an awesome place. This is an awesome place to be. Never lose sight of the awesomeness of the house of God. Now, let's look into the words of this song. Verse number 1 starts off and it says, "Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee." You know, that is the desire of the writer of this hymn. And you know what? That ought to be our desire as well this morning. At least I hope that's your desire. I hope that's your hope to be nearer to God. You know, I hope that you ever live desiring to hear, as it were, that trumpet sound and the voice of an archangel and Christ descending in the clouds and we which are alive to be called up to meet Him in the air. I hope that that's your desire. You know, folks, I'm not exactly good with heights. You put me on a ladder very far, and I'm going to freeze. I just don't do well with them. You know what? I know that one of these days, my Heavenly Father sends His Son, and we hear those words come up hither. You know what? I'm not going to worry about heights anymore. I'm going to take my flight. I'll fly away, oh glory. And I won't worry about it one bit. Because my eyes will be focused upon my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the mirror, my God, to see. You know, many people talk about how when they go to heaven, they're going to see Granddad, they're going to see Grandma, they're going to see all these people that have gone on before them. And you know what? Folks, in due time, I hope to see them too. But I tell you what, my desire is to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, the one who paid my sin debt on Calvary's cross. Paul spoke of his desire to be nearer with the Lord, didn't he? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But how do we get there? How do we get to be present with the Lord? Well, you know what? Sarah answers it here in the next line of verse number 1. She says, "Even though it be a cross that raiseth me." Even though it be a cross that raiseth me. You see, there's only one way to heaven, folks. And that's the power of the cross. That's the only way. You know, there are many today, even in Christianity, who speak of the many different ways, the many different paths that one might take to get to heaven. You know, the Pope, as we talked about last week, he's reduced it down to works. Good works will get you to heaven. Folks, if good works will get you to heaven, then Christ wouldn't have had to come because the law would have saved. That's good works. There are some today, you know, we have America's most popular pastor, Joel Osteen. What's he say? He says, you know, he believes there's probably several different routes to heaven as long as you're faithful and believe. Listen, folks, the devil desires that you believe as long as that you're a good person. The devil desires that as long as you believe that you are a person of faith, that everything is well, that everything is good. Well, listen, folks, there's going to be a lot of sincere people that find out that they were sincerely wrong. There is one God. There is one Jehovah. That is all. He is the great three in one. And Sarah understood that there is no other name under heaven in which man can be saved except for Jesus Christ. She realized that she couldn't do it on her own merit, realized it wasn't by her own works, but rather by the works of Jesus Christ that were performed upon Calvary's cross, again, indeed, that built that stairway to heaven. And she then praises Christ and says, "Still, all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee." Folks, is Christ a song in your heart? Is He a song in your heart? You know what? I hope that He is. You know, I hope that as you work, as you go about your job, that you have a song in your heart, a hymn in your heart, one that runs through your minds. I hope that you have a hymn playing behind every step that you take. I tell you what, when you have godly music playing in your heart and in your head, when you have them coming across your lips as you go about your day, it helps keep this old world in perspective. It does. It keeps this old world in perspective. And you know what? I'll tell you something else. It's a whole lot harder to sin when you got a hymn playing in your mouth. You see, you can't sing "Nearer, My God, to Thee" when you're playing Jonah. Can you? Can't do that. Keep these songs in your heart. Then we have the simple chorus, "Nearer, My God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee." And I want you to notice that "Nearer to Thee," what's it have at the end of it? It's not a period. It's an exclamation point. An exclamation point. That is, it is said with what? Emphasis. It is said with emphasis. It is said with delight. It is said with praise. Nearer to Thee. Look in verse number 2. Here, if you didn't know the story, you know, how many times we've sang this song, did you ever think that this was what the story was written from Jacob? Probably never, you know, if you didn't know that. But, you know, knowing that helps you at least understood a little bit where the perspective is. "Though like a wanderer the sun go down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone." See, it's easy to see Jacob now, isn't it? All makes sense a little bit. You see him wandering away from home, probably scared, feeling alone, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, not knowing what's going to happen down at Laban's house. Jacob was once, you know, in a home, a very wealthy home, had everything he wanted. Now he's sleeping outside under the stars, maybe something that Esau would have been very comfortable with, maybe not something Jacob would have been. Got a pillow for his, or he's got a stone for his pillow, right? You know, maybe you know that feeling as well sometimes in your life. Maybe you've been on your own sometimes. Maybe you weren't fleeing per se. But maybe you were out in this world and all the comforts of home were gone. And you knew you couldn't go back. Knew that there was a long path that was ahead of you. You know, I think of my brother Randy just because, you know, we get the chance to talk sometimes, and sometimes, you know, he'll talk about the loneliness that he had when he was in the Army. When he first went, there were times that things were pretty lonely, knowing he's a long way from home, wasn't going to get to come home for a long time. I imagine Sister Diana could tell you similar stories. Times when you felt as alone could get in this world. You know, I can remember when I went away to school. I didn't know anyone. I remember night after night coming home to an empty place. You know, let's just face it. Sometimes it's good to be alone. Sometimes it's good to be alone where we can escape with our thoughts and escape and focus on God. But loneliness is never good. Loneliness is never good. Well, that's how Jacob was feeling today. He was feeling lonely. And undoubtedly, he was contemplating his lot in life. You know, wondering about God, no doubt. Maybe he thought like some, you know, like, how could God let this happen to me? You know, even though he's, you know, done these things. Maybe he thought, you know, well, how can God do this to me? Or perhaps, you know, maybe he realizes what he has done. Maybe sin is convicting him and he's pretty helpless and hopeless. And what, you know, in those times of loneliness, there is a place that we can go. There is one who indeed can comfort us and guide us in our steps. One who knows us better than we know ourselves. And it is indeed Christ Jesus. The nearer we find ourselves to Christ, the more we will indeed find rest. The nearer we are to Him, the nearer we are to peace. So the words of the song go on to say, yet in my dreams, I'd be nearer my God to thee. Brothers and sisters, this of course is speaking of the vision of Jacob that he has here. But have you ever been lonely for Jesus? And laid your head down at night and He given you dreams to comfort you? I'm not talking about those kind of dreams that people say that they have where they have visions and then they say they got some new thing that they have to get out and they go and start cults and that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. But I'm honestly talking about those times when you know that God has used a dream to speak to your heart. I can say He's done that in my life. Answered questions that I've had, made things clear. You know, when your thoughts are on that which is heavenly, and you lay down your head at night, often your dreams are heavenly as well. That's just natural. And then we have our simple chorus again, nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee. Now, let's look at the third verse of this song. Again, remembering the context of Jacob here, because the words here could be very obscure if you didn't know that. It says, there let the way appear, steps unto heaven. Of course, here he's speaking about the steps that appeared to him that led up to God's throne. You know, folks, if we're truly saved here this morning, every step that we take brings us closer to our home. Every step that we take brings us closer to heaven. Christ tells us in this world there are two paths. One is the straight and narrow, and one is the broad way that leads to destruction. Scripture tells us that few find that straight and narrow path, but many will go off in the broad way that leads to destruction. You know, when the Lord saved us, He placed us upon that straight and that narrow path. And folks, that straight and narrow path leads to this ladder, this stairway to heaven. You know, when I die, I know that I'm going to ascend just as the angels were ascending up and down this ladder, this staircase. As a matter of fact, folks, I believe as I read the Word of God and look at the rich man and Lazarus, I believe the angels are going to carry me up indeed that ladder and carry me to the bosom of Jesus Christ. She says in her song, all that Thou sendest me in mercy given. You know, as I think about this song being sung from the thoughts of Jacob, or even a pilgrim here upon this earth, I think about the promise that God made to Jacob. You know, as we read there, we saw that He promised that He would ever be with Jacob, no matter where he went. He was going to bless him. And we see following this event that that's exactly what happened, right? When Jacob got down to Laban's house, he came with nothing. And the Lord blessed him down there, right? Blessed him so much that he really became mightier than Laban, right? There were times when Laban would get upset, he'd say, you know what, you work for the ring strength and I'll work for the solids. And then when there was so many of these, then he'd switch and then God would switch it too. You know, whatever it was, that's what God blessed Jacob with. And he grew and he grew and he grew. And it came to the point where the Lord told him to go back home. To go back where? To the promised land. That's where he belonged. It was to his heirs that that land would pass. God told him it's time to go back home. And you know what? This Jacob who came down and he had nothing, when he came back, what did he come back with? He came back with family, sons, daughters, wives, concubines. He came back with servants. He came back with flocks. So much so that what? When he saw Esau, he was not only trying to send him gifts ahead of time, and Esau saying, you know what, I have enough. And Jacob more emphatically said, no, I have enough. I have enough. The Lord's blessed me. I don't need those things. God's given me everything I need. God in His infinite mercy and grace blessed Jacob. You know, when you look back on the life of Jacob, you remember, you know, this guy was once a scoundrel. He wasn't the greatest of people when you first meet him in the Word of God. But God changed him into a different person altogether. And the Lord is like that in our lives too. You know, when we're saved, He begins to change us. To change us. To mold us into the person that He desires us to be. And along the way, He shows us mercy and grace upon top of mercy and grace as He supplies the things that we need in our lives to make us into that person He really wants us to be. But you know, as I read this verse, and to me, there's almost a double meaning here. And I don't know if she meant it this way when she wrote it. But you know what? As I read this verse here, you know, it reminds me of a lot of what Christ said over in John chapter 6, verse 37. It says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. As I said, I don't know if she meant to draw our thoughts towards Christ as she wrote that lyric about what God has given, but you know, at least it does for me. It draws my attention theirs, and I think about Christ. You know, Christ was a wonder upon this earth. He was a pilgrim upon this earth. He too used a stone for His pillow. He too had His heart and His head turned towards heaven. He too had the angels minister to Him. So as I think about this verse in particular, and as for me, as I see Christ here, I think about how God has indeed a people. God has a people, an elect, a chosen before the foundation of this world. And out of His mercy and out of His grace, He has placed them into the hands of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has indeed redeemed us. And there will be forevermore. Cannot be removed. The verse concludes with the words, thinking of how the angels were directing the attention of Jacob to God. It says, angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to Thee. Angels to beckon me. Folks, on this earth, you may have never seen a heavenly angel. I don't think any of you all have. Though there may be at times that we've entertained angels unaware. We don't know. But you know, in the Word of God, angel means messenger. Messenger. And the Bible sometimes uses the word angel for one of the saints that is carrying His words. You might not see angels today encouraging you on your way to heaven. But I will tell you what, there are many of the saints of God who are indeed encouraging you daily, praying for you, encouraging you here upon this earth. And I'll go more than that, folks. There is a realm that we cannot see. And I am convinced that the angels are surrounding us even now. I believe today, here at this house of God, this Bethel, that the angels are in attendance, curious to look upon the ways of salvation, here to encourage you when you don't even know it. The chorus again simply says, "Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee." Now let's look at our last verse here. It says, "Then with my waking thoughts, bright with Thy praise." What is she talking about here? She's talking about when Jacob woke up the next morning, how excited that he was, right? How excited that he was to be in this awesome place. And what he had seen the night before, and truly what a marvelous sight it was, what a marvelous vision. And you know what? We may never see a vision like this in our life. Never see a stairway open up or ladder to heaven, as it were. But you know what? We still ought to wake up praising God. We still ought to wake up praising God. Praising Him that He has given us another night of safety. Another night of rest. Another day, another chance to serve Him even more than we have the day before. Another day that we find ourselves closer in our walk of this life towards heaven. Then she writes, "Out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise." You think about that verse. Think about it a little bit more. Think about it as you go home. You know, Jacob got up and he built an altar to the Lord, and he called this place Bethel, the house of God. Jacob went to bed in grief, in loneliness, and he woke up with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brothers and sisters, you may have come into this house this morning with grief in your heart. You might have come with loneliness in your heart. You might have come with many different things, many different thoughts, many different burdens that this world has upon you. But here, in this house of God, in this Bethel, we can let Him go. We can let it all go. We don't have to worry about anything else. God is in control. He's in control. He's got it all in His hands. Here, in the house of God, life regains its true perspective. So will you raise Bethel this morning? Will you raise the house of God through your worship this morning? Your worship of the One who has bought us? Praise Him this morning. Praise Him. Worship Him out of your whole heart. I'm going to go ahead and end there. I was going to sing the song, but since we sang it already, we're going to go ahead and skip that. But I'm going to go ahead and dismiss in prayer. And for those that are going to Sunday school class, we don't have too many. But if you stay here, that's fine. If you go up, that's fine too. But it'll take me just a minute here in between. I've got to upload some video here, so take me a couple minutes in that. So if you would, bow your heads with me in prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come before You, Lord, we thank You again for the day that You've given us. Lord, we thank You for the many prayers that You've answered. And Lord, we thank You for this house, Lord, this Bethel today. Lord, we thank You for Your sanctuary and what it means to us